Hello again, it's Patrick Kelly with Airtime, the official podcast of the Olympic Styles of USA Wrestling Kansas.
With us on the line today is Olympic Styles Director for USAWKS, Will Coakley, to fill us in on the preparations for the upcoming Cadet and Junior Nationals, which take place in Fargo, North Dakota in just a few weeks. Will, welcome to Airtime.
Good morning, Pat. How are you today?
Good, good. Well, you've been around long enough to have seen subtle as well as major changes in the event that is simply known as Fargo. Last year, freestyle was contested before Greco for probably the first time ever. This year, the girls have already had their dual portion of nationals, which had previously taken place at Fargo. Are there any other major changes to the format or structure this year?
You know, Pat, that's interesting. We are wrapping up on Friday instead of Saturday this year. So they've managed to take some time out of the week, which that's, I think, a positive thing. But other than that, from a schedule perspective, I think things are very similar as to what they were last year. On another topic, video review is apparently going to be broadened this year. In the 10 years I've been there, I've seen it evolve to where you could once in a while you would get a video review, but then they got cameras on every mat, and they said on the front side you could get a video review. Then it became All-American rounds, and sometimes I think it was who you knew, but anyway, they're looking to make the block available to all matches. So it'd be interesting to see how coaches handle that. And I'm not really sure what the parameters are on how many you get or what's going to take place with that. I'm sure we'll find out when we get there.
Wow, that will be interesting. That is a big change. I will say that most of the changes that they've made in the structure have been really pretty positive changes for the event. So yeah, it will be interesting to see how that plays out and to see if it lengthens the tournament any.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. You and I have talked before. I really would like to see them put the junior portion weigh in on Friday, wrestle on Saturday and Sunday, so some of these seniors that are not able to get out of summer school were able to participate in Fargo the summer of their senior year. But haven't really heard anything talked about on that yet.
Well, that is a good idea, and it just seems to be that more and more that is the case, where especially those higher level D1 recruits are tied up with their college obligations and aren't able to get away. So that that would be a good idea. So last year we had a good year, coming away with a total of 16 All-Americans. And let me run down that list to honor their accomplishments. So Nicole Moore was a cadet All-American. She placed fifth at 100 pounds. Lise Robinson was a national runner-up at 164 in the cadet division. And Nicole Moore was a double All-American. She also participated in the junior tournament, and she was seventh at 100 pounds. Brianna Douglas was a national runner-up at 132. And Marissa Patterson was a national champion at 180 last year in the junior women's division. In a cadet Greco-Roman, we had Cade Lindsay was fifth place at 152. Gavin Carter was eighth place at 182. And Wyatt Hendrickson was third at 195. And in freestyle for the cadets, we had Kyle Haas, who was an incoming freshman last year. He was eighth at 170 pounds. Gavin Carter, a double All-American, he placed 8th in freestyle at 182. And Wyatt Hendrickson, also a double All-American, he again placed 3rd in freestyle to go along with his Greco 3rd at 195 pounds. In the junior division for Greco, we had Jace Kelzer, who was an 8th placer at 113. Corbin Nerschel was 6th at 126. Javon Parrish, 7th at 126. And then in freestyle, we had two All-Americans. Jace was a double All-American. He placed 4th at 113 in freestyle juniors. And Jalen Harper was 7th at 160. So on the girls' side this year, Jordan Connect, Elise Robinson, Nicole Moore, Maya Kretzer, Brianna Douglas have all become household names that are expected to do big things at Fargo this year. Anyone else that we should have our eye on in regard to the girls?
I've talked with the women's director for Kansas, Joe Connect, and we have some of the up-and-comers are Elise Rose, who's a cadet from Marysville. Seems to be really putting together a nice tool set in freestyle. She went 6-3 at duels. Also, keep an eye out for Anya Tishol, a cadet from Wichita. She was also a very strong 6-3 at junior duels and has been working very hard to make the podium, which will be her second trip to Fargo. And then there's a sophomore from Rose Hill, Annika Besko, who's in the hunt, her ability to throw anyone, and she has a nice sweep single, makes her super dangerous to make All-American. She was very close last year in both cadets and juniors. And, you know, the coaching staff this year is a pretty experienced group. You got Joe headed up, and then Brianna Douglas' dad, Joe Douglas, and then McPherson High School coach, Doug Kretzer, who's very involved in trying to promote the women's program here in Kansas and get it added to the Keisha list of varsity sports. So nice group we got from Kansas. I think we represent the women's side very well.
Yeah, and I tell you, you know, for a state that doesn't have it as a sanctioned sport, we sure do have a strong program. And again, those ladies finished eighth in the dual portion, so we do expect big things from that group. And you know, it's made up of some pretty accomplished individuals. On the cadet side, for the guys, Devin Gomez, Dwayne Villapando, Kyle Haas, Gavin Carter headlined a group of exciting cadets that have put the wrestling world on notice with their performance in Spokane. What are your expectations for the cadets in general and for individuals that make up that high-powered group?
Yeah, I see us, you know, being similar to the situation we were in 3 or 4 years ago when we placed second in Greco at Fargo. I think this is a very talented group of cadets, and we have a lot of experience in there, and I'm expecting to see maybe pushing that All-American number above five in the cadets in Greco, and we'll see what happens in freestyle. But they did have a very strong duels, beat Team Illinois, which is probably the first time that a Kansas team's ever beaten the number one Illinois team. Very, very talented group of kids. I'm very excited to watch these guys compete.
Right, so as for the junior men, Jalen Harper is a name that leads off the page, as well as Cordell Duhart and Dayton Porsche. They've had really good spring and summers. Nobody in the country is overlooking Wyatt Hendrickson. I understand Jace Kelzer, I believe probably the most decorated Kansas wrestler ever at Fargo, will be participating after relocating to Greeley after graduating from Olathe South to get a jump on his college career at Northern Colorado. Give us a rundown of your expectations for the junior men.
Yeah, you know, we've seemed to always have a little bit of a difficult time making that jump from cadet success to junior success. I have some, you know, again, high hopes this year that we've got some kids that have been working hard and are going to do well. Dayton Porsche comes to mind, Grant Treister, Michael Spangler has really turned it up this summer. Cordell Duhart is, you know, headed to Missouri, I believe, and is looking pretty strong. But I really expect big things out of Wyatt Hendrickson. He's got the experience and done well at UWW Cadets this year. Tristan Wills is another name that comes to mind. Jason Hensel had a pretty strong summer. I think maybe we can, you know, maybe get up around 4 or 5 All-Americans in both styles there this year.
All right. So who will be on staff to coach the cadets and junior men in Fargo?
You know, we're still a work in progress on our staff, but some of the usual characters, Travis Keel, Tom Peterman, Clint Slider, Cody Parks and Eric Aiken are going to be there. I believe this is Eric's first stint as a coach in many years. His son, Johnny Aiken, will be wrestling cadets this year. Matt Baker, and then I brought on the Pratt community coach, Ken Kepley. We're going to smatter in a few younger guys at camp this year to work out with the guys, but they're not going to be on staff at Fargo. So we're just going to have some, like, practice partner college guys at the camp, and then have our staff set for Fargo. I think Ryan Coakley and Danny Grader and Daniel DeShazer is probably going to also participate as a coach in Fargo.
Okay, wow. Sounds like a heck of a staff there. So I understand the training camp will again take place at Baker University, but the structure and schedule have been altered to make for better experience for the kids. Tell us about the changes that are in store for this year's Fargo camp.
So in the past, you know, it became a bit of a grind. We would have the camp and leave from the camp and go straight to Fargo. And, you know, basically we had these kids out of their homes for, you know, 10, 12 days. And it may have led to some fatigue, mental fatigue and such. So we're going to try something a little different this year. We're going to have camp on the 5th, 6th, and 7th at Baker, kind of just an an intense training camp for technique, and you know, these, we're basically leaving it up to the kids to be in shape here. We're not going to run a boot camp and try to get them in shape in 3 days. So we're going to practice fifth, sixth, and seventh at Baker, turn them loose, and then we're going to meet in Topeka early on the 11th to travel up to South Dakota and have a camp in South Dakota with the Legends of Gold group, headed up by Terry Pack. And we're going to work out a couple of times, spend the night, work out a couple more times, head on up to Fargo, and do our on-site workouts then. So it's we're just breaking it up a little bit to not make it such a long drag here. And then, you know, we used to stick them on the bus and ride the whole way without stopping. We're going to break that trip up so it's in a couple, like, 4.5, 5-hour type increments. So we'll see what happens. You know, I had several conference calls during the post-high school season this year, and this is one of the things that was mentioned that could possibly improve our efforts up here. So we're going to try it out. I'm always open to try some changes and see what kind of impact they have.
Well, sounds like it's well thought out, and again, with the focus on what will be best for the kids. I think that's a great great idea that you have going there. So speaking of Legends of Gold, Jesse Thielke, a LOG resident athlete, made another world team in Greco. He represented the U.S. in 2013 and again in 2016 at the Olympics, and this year he moved up a weight class and came through again. He's a native of Wisconsin, but has worked a lot with Team Kansas over the last several years. Tell us how that relationship came to be and what a real privilege it is for our guys to have our opportunity to learn from him.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting story, I guess. I the first time I ever saw Jesse, he was like 10 or 11, and he was wrestling Sharky Slider in Greco in Enid, Oklahoma at the Kids Nationals in Schoolboy. And Sharky was looking to accomplish a Triple Crown that year, but was trailing Jesse by several points, and Sharky came back and beat him. And that's the first time I ever saw him. Well, then as time went on, and we traveled around and wrestled quite a bit, my son Ryan and Jesse became competitors and friends, and it just sort of evolved from there. And Jesse was at Wisconsin with Ryan, and we decided that we wanted to bring somebody in that was pretty high level, and he was willing to do it at an affordable rate, and he really connected with the kids. He's a bit of a kid himself, and I think that works out well. You know, he's pretty free-spirited, and it's just been a good partnership for the state, and I think Jesse really, really likes the Kansas kids. He at the World Team Trials down in Tulsa last weekend, I know he came over and talked a lot of them. We brought him around during the fall and in the spring for some other camps, and he's just kind of become a Kansas fixture. I know he's going to help us at the camp at Legends of Gold. I think he might come up to Fargo with us, but I haven't firmed that up yet because of his, you know, being on the world team. So, he's pretty decorated. You listed his 2013 and 2016 and this year's world team, but I think he made like a couple cadet world teams and two or three junior world teams too. He's a very accomplished Greco wrestler, and I really credit him with the success we had a few years ago in Greco. Just been a great partnership.
Yeah, so I'm sure his commitments and, of course, focus are on Budapest in October and what he needs to do to best prepare for that. But anything we can glean from him is really kind of an honor, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the saturation of national and even pseudo-national tournaments on the schedule now, what is your plug for why Fargo is still the standard bearer and the most prestigious of them all?
Yeah, that's interesting. They've been putting committees together over the last few years and studying it and trying to come up with alternative plans and, you know, moving some of the focus into the regional tournaments and off of Fargo, trying to manage the size of it. But, you know, this goes back all the way before it was called Fargo. When I was wrestling, it was called Iowa Nationals and was in Iowa City. And I think the allure is the giant brackets, the kids from all over the country, the bringing of everybody into one spot and one place. And you don't mind going there and going 0-2, you know, you might wrestle some guys that are going to be on the Olympic team in the future. You definitely are going to see a lot of guys on the NCAA podium later in life. And I just think that there's just a there's just something about walking in one place and being able to watch 20 plus mats all going at the same time, and then walking over and looking at the bracket and seeing these guys that you've only read about on the internet or seen in the magazines. And it just, it has an appeal to it that I don't think they really, USA Wrestling should really try to mess with much. They should be trying to figure out why it works instead of trying to figure out how to improve it by dismantling it, I think. So, you know, there's been, the modifications have taken place have been because of the rise in popularity of women's wrestling, and that's kind of stretched out the tournament, and they're trying to figure that out right now. And they made a huge step in moving the duels out so that the mat time will be focused all on the individual side of the fence this year. But I really just think it's the popularity of the big bracket and the top shelf wrestlers that you know you're going to be able to see there.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, one unique thing about it too is it's a real wrestling rich environment. I mean, there's no beach, there's no mall, you know, it's in Fargo, North Dakota. But it just has that that luster about it, that it's you know, the prestige of it is the event itself and not the trappings, I think.
Absolutely.
So the sand is beginning to leave the hourglass, but if a wrestler is interested in joining Team Kansas for Fargo, what should they do, who should they contact, and what paperwork should they be prepared to submit?
It's a good question, Pat. So this, after Junior Duels is over, my focus turns totally to getting as many kids as we can get to Fargo. One of the questions I get asked more than any other question is, how do you qualify? Well, it's pretty set in stone by USA Wrestling. You get up to four wrestlers per weight class, per age group, with a total of like, you know, there's you can't have four in every weight class. So some you're going to have three. But then on top of that, you can be, if you're placed in the top four at any regional, and there's like eight regionals across the U.S., then you automatically qualify yourself for Fargo. So we've had a kind of a record number of regional qualifiers this year. So, I mean, we probably have the opportunity to take as many as close to, I'm going to say close to 100 if we filled every single spot that we have. So I've been assembling the rosters and getting commitments from the kids. In 11 years I've been involved with Fargo, only 1 year do I ever remember us having to juggle some lineups because we had too many kids in a weight class. So, if somebody wants to go, I'm going to tell you that you probably can go. If you didn't qualify by going to Freestyle Greco State in the top four or place at a regional, you need to just send me an email. I will send you a sign up form, and I'll send you the cost. And the cost starts out at, you know, somewhere I think around $950 in my incentive form. And you can lower it all the way down to $600 by involving yourself in our regional training center program, by competing in USA Wrestling events. There's just a number of ways that you can get a discount. And you know, a lot of people get really caught up in trying to dissect that. Honestly, if you're preparing for the tournament, we want you to pay $600. You know, we don't want you to have to pay $900. And then something else I'd like to kind of promote here is, you know, we have one of the strongest financial USA Wrestling programs in the country. Kansas is very unified, and we are able to subsidize this tournament heavily. The total cost to send a kid to wrestle at Fargo for Kansas is $1,300 plus. That's gear, singlets, dormitory, food, busing, Fargo prep camp, and paying for the coaching staff. So we're giving you a really, really good deal here. And I think everybody that's involved in USA Wrestling, if you have a card and you want to participate in this and you've done some preparation, I will send you the incentive form and the sign-up form, and you should sign up target a weight class and go up there and experience the wrestling experience of your lifetime. Really, it's just it's just a tremendous exposure to what wrestling can be. And if if you go there, it makes our state tournament look kind of like a joke, to be honest. So, you know, it's that's how powerful the experience is there. So when you go to Wichita or Hayes or Salina next year, you'll walk into that room ready to compete and not be distracted by the size of that arena or the number of mats or the crowd that's there, because the Fargo experience really, really just is unbeatable.
Well, thank you for taking the time to join us today. And I want people to realize that it takes a tremendous amount of time and effort behind the scenes to make a trip like Fargo happen. Countless young men and women owe a ton of thanks to you, Mike Juby, and the many others volunteer staff that make it possible. Thank you, good luck, and safe travels.
Thank you, Pat. Well, on a closing note, I want to, based on your thank you there, I want to thank Jacob Beck. Jacob Beck was a fixture on our Fargo staff for many years, ran regional training centers, just totally committed himself to Kansas wrestling. And I'm sad to say, but also happy to say, that Jacob has taken a position at Park Hill High School in Missouri. So he's now on the Missouri staff, which it's not exactly what I would love to see, but the Park Hill job is a high profile Missouri job, and I think Jacob Beck has put in his time and his effort, and I want to thank him for everything he did for Kansas.
This has been Patrick Kelly with Airtime, the official podcast of the Olympic Styles of USA Wrestling Kansas. Until next time, thanks for listening.